Hey everybody, I'm Cody.
And I'm Billy.
And this is the Film Feed News.
So we have a few trailers to talk about this week. We've got a few other things too, but I really want to talk about these trailers coming out the gate. The first thing that I want to talk about is this Animaniacs trailer, actually. I saw this a few days ago, and I forgot that I had seen it. And then when looking for news, Cody sent it to me, and I've got to say, I really enjoyed Animaniacs as a child. I am way more excited for the Animaniacs reboot as an adult than I ever was about that show existing as a child.
I got really nervous for a second there. The way you paused, I thought you were just getting ready to shit all over it, and I was just not going to talk to you again because I am so excited.
I can't stand how awesome it looks, and the Animaniacs, like, even going back, like, you can rewatch that show right now as an adult, and it is just as good, if not better, as it was when you were a child. They had really smart writers, and the same thing goes with Tiny Toon Adventures. The shows, I want to say, are both run by Paul Dini, who is also... Now, once again, I could be incorrect, but I want to say, I know Paul Dini did Batman the Animated Series, and I know he did Tiny Toon Adventures, and I really think he also did the Animaniacs. Which just makes him, like, a king of my childhood in general. But Animaniacs and Tiny Toon Adventures, I always, like, when I've revisited as an adult, I'm very pleasantly happy with, like, how smart a lot of the humor was. And how, like, understanding they were that, like, yes, we're making this for children, but they're watching it in a house that also has adults in it. And some things are really just terrible to sit through. And the idea that, like, these shows really, like, put that into account, and, you know, also Batman Animated Series falls under that as well. Very, very, very much so. That show's fantastic. And they've both Tiny Toon Adventures and Animaniacs were very, like, self-aware and very meta and honestly kind of ahead of their time.
Yeah.
And this is the first, like, even with, like, Teen Titans Go, I love that show, and I'll watch it whenever I get a chance, but there was no excitement for it when it was announced. I'm like, you know, whatever. This is the first time, like, a new cartoon came out that's, like, a reboot of an old cartoon. I'm like, yes, just pour it all over me. I need it right this minute.
Well, it's not even, like, the typical approach to a reboot, because, like, normally when people are just like, we're gonna reboot this cartoon, it's more of just like a complete remake. They bring in, like, new writers and new animation teams and new voice actors, and, like, everything looks different and sounds different, but, like, the same characters are there. This is, like, pretty much just the same team got back together again and, like, added a couple new faces and voices, but Spielberg's still directing it and producing it, and so it's got the same voice actors, which, I mean, dude, man, that does Wacko and Yakko is old as shit, but he's been touring the country and doing jokes and conventions and stuff as Wacko and Yakko since the original series, so he's, like, still totally on board to do it. And, like, the animation looks almost exactly the same, just higher quality.
Yeah, a little bit more crisp.
And so it's almost just like... it's almost just like they're making a new season of the show fucking 20 years later.
Absolutely. And if anything, like, the quality and the little bit of writing we get makes me feel like I might enjoy this more than I enjoyed the last iteration of the show. I'm stoked to see Pinky and the Brain back. I'm stoked, like, all of it, man.
I hope they also squeeze in Freakazoid somewhere in there, and then I'll be complete on the inside. Like, that was my big thing, was Animaniacs and Freakazoid when I was little, and I can love that shit.
See, like, and you're probably gonna get mad. Freakazoid was, like, the one that I didn't get into. And everyone told me that I would really like it, but, like, as a kid, and, like, probably if I go back and, like, look at it now, I'll probably appreciate it more. But that was, like, the one that I'm just like, I don't know, I wasn't all about it for whatever reason.
I don't know. It, to Freakazoid was like Deadpool before Deadpool got popular. It's just like very, very full of fourth wall breaks and just bizarre humor. And like, it definitely leaned a little more towards stupid sometimes, but like, it was stupid that made sense. If that makes any sense. Like, it wasn't just we're doing dumb things for the sake of being dumb. It was just like, I don't know, it was the same team that made Animaniacs, so like the intelligence behind the joke is there. And it was just like a different take. Instead of being goofy little animal people, it was a superhero spawned out of the internet because a cat walked across the keyboard, which is just like, you know, sounds like an idea that I would come up with.
Yeah. And once again, I just like, since I wasn't into it as a kid, I didn't feel the need to revisit it as an adult. And so I think that's like where like, it's not like a dislike, it's just like an indifference. But I'm sure like if I went back and tried to check it out now, I'd probably enjoy it a lot more. I think part of my issue with it as a kid is I didn't like the way he looked. Like, I don't know, just like the overall character design, but you know, I was weird when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I also completely wore out a VHS tape of patriotic sing-along songs, so like, you know, what kind of a judge was I at that point, right? But yeah, I'm totally on board, totally stoked for more Animaniacs. Like, give it all to me, and fucking, I swear I saw a longer trailer than the one that you sent me the other day. I could be wrong, and it might be that I just got lost in it, like, watching the fucking trailer, but we will see. By that, I mean, I'll look it up later, because I was just thinking about that. But I think it's a great idea, and I'm glad that it's on a streaming service that I already have. It's going to be on Hulu, so I'm not going to sit there and feel like I'm missing out until I get a free trial and try to binge watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
Especially since I'm still like on the fence about joining CBS All Access, because I want to see that new Star Trek show, because everyone's just telling me it's fantastic, along with the new Twilight Zone. But I'm also on the fence about HBO Max, and eventually I'm just like, they're going to bankrupt me because I want to watch TV. So, I'm glad that it's on Hulu, because I've had Hulu for like a year and some change now, and I've been super happy with it. That's where I watch Buffy and Scrubs right now.
Yeah. I appreciate many of the things that Hulu has to offer. I hate their app. Just the app design and the browsing is just awfully put together. And I'm really hoping that Disney like revamps it a little bit and makes it a little better, which I guess I shouldn't hold my breath, because the Disney Plus app is also terrible.
It is.
It got a little bit better than the rant I had about it, like the first week that it was available, that I couldn't even watch it. But it's still really rough around the edges as far as a design.
No, you're absolutely right. It's kind of hot garbage. Speaking of Disney, my next article or slash trailer that we need to talk about, I had no knowledge that it was a thing that was coming, and it is called Raya and the Last Dragon. It is a Disney computer generated animated film, and I think I want to see this more than I've ever wanted to see a Disney movie, like outside of like Marvel and Star Wars. I am super stoked that this is a thing that exists. From what I can tell, it's like a straight like martial arts fantasy about this like young girl warrior. I guess she's older in the bulk of the story, who has to find the last dragon that exists to like stop some sort of war from happening. I've always been a fan of computer-generated animation when it comes to, like, martial arts, like Kung Fu Panda and things like that, because those action sequences end up being really fun and really fast-paced, because, as it turns out, you can make computer-generated models move more fluidly and more fast than a human can, because that's not stuck with, like, human physics. So, like, I love all the action sequences in Kung Fu Panda, which, like, when people talk about those movies, they always seem to, like, overlook how, like, great all of that shit is. They're like, oh, it's really funny, and then told a heartwarming story and all this. But I was like, but did you see the fight scene? Because, like, that's actually no joke from someone who watches a lot of fucking Kung Fu movies. Some of that shit's fucking awesome, and you should, like, give that some credit. And so I've always been a fan of that, and of course this looks, like, more grounded, being, like, humanoid characters instead of, like, you know, a literal praying mantis and a literal crane, like, you know, all the animals that represent the five main styles of ancient Kung Fu and shit. Yeah. I don't know, I'm really excited about that. I'm excited that the trailer gave me, like, really intense Indiana Jones vibes. I like the creativity of, like, her friend is this little roly-poly, but by the end, when she's, like, grown up, it's this mount that she rides. It's just, like, a ball. Everything about this looks cool as shit. And I lost my mind watching that trailer the first time. I've already watched it, like, 3 times. I found it as I was talking to you this morning when you were all like, I need to go get donuts. It was such a cool fucking trailer, and I really needed that in my life. Like, I am fucking stoked.
This is the reverse, like, Blair Witch scenario. Like, the trailer, like, nothing about the trailer popped out at me. I was just like, okay, this is a thing that exists. I was, like, waiting for there to be some sort of bizarre story or something attached to, like, why it exists is why you were excited to talk about it, and turns out you're just really excited for it, and that's adorable, and I appreciate it.
Very few things can check those kind of boxes. Like, it gave me Indiana Jones vibes, it got, like, a martial arts background, it's still, like, a high fantasy thing, and it looks like, I don't know, it looks like it's gonna be, like, a really crazy epic, but a martial arts fantasy epic, and I don't know. I'm way excited for it. But,
I mean, it's by the team that did Moana, so I'm sure that I'll end up enjoying it a lot. Like I said, Moana is, like, literally this close to dethroning Lion King as my favorite Disney movie.
See, I never actually watched Moana. I own it, and my kids have watched it a bunch, but they always, like, it's one of those things, like, they start watching it, and I'll walk in, and it'll just be in the middle of the movie, and I'm like, well, I'll watch this again, like, next time they watch it, or I'll, like, pick it up at some point, and then I just never do that. Anytime I walk in, they're like, I always tend to walk in during, like, the shiny song with, like, the crab guy, and I'm just all like, I don't know what's happening here. And so, for me, fucking my favorite dude Disney from movie,
Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah. My favorite Disney movie is slowly becoming Big Hero 6. I've watched that over and over and over again.
I've still not watched that one.
Oh, man, it is so good. Big Hero 6 is fucking, we should, like, make a pact where, like, I'll watch Moana and you watch Big Hero 6, and then we meet back in the middle and we discuss, because, like, Big Hero 6 for me is, like, it's Disney making a CG anime movie. But, like, the things that I appreciate about anime and not the things that, like, I got tired of about anime. I really like that it's, like, really fast-paced and it's all, like, cyberpunk kind of. And it's still, like, it's got a good heart. It tells a really good story. And it is such a fun movie that I didn't think I would like that much. Like, we got it for my son Damien for his birthday when it first came out on home video. And we watched it as a family because he saw the commercials and he was all like, you know, that the puffy guy looks funny. And I'm like, right on. And I adored that movie. Yeah. And I probably liked it more than the kids did. It struck me in the right place. And I want to watch it over and over and over again.
It was one of the few worlds in Kingdom Hearts 3 that I really enjoyed, even though that game just did a very bad job of telling anything related to the stories of what it was trying to tell you.
See, I've never played any of the Kingdom Hearts games, and right now they're all on the Xbox Game Pass, and so I've been thinking about picking up the first one.
The first one's good, and every other game is awful. as far as I'm concerned. Like, I have not been able to force myself to finish any of them, and like, all of the Kingdom Hearts fans listening to the show are currently trying to kill me through their phone for saying that, but like, the first one's the only good one.
Fair enough. I might check it out at some point, but at the same time, I've got so much stuff on my plate that I
will say, I a lot of like how time. The mechanics work and like a lot of how like the game itself plays didn't age very well. Like trying to go back and play the first one, it felt way clunkier than it did when I played it originally. But it's just like a thing that you run into playing older games.
Yeah,
I feel like the graphics aren't as much of an issue because there's been like 4 or 5 different fucking remaster versions available.
Yeah, it's the newest remastered version,
and like the newest one actually looks really good.
Yeah.
But the controls and stuff are the same, so it's a little bulky, but
I'll probably try to check it out. I know that right now I'm still playing Mario 64 before I can get into Mario Sunshine, before I can play Mario Galaxy. And then me and Tracy are very intensely talking about picking up Crash Bandicoot 4 because, you know, after you get 100% on 1, 2, and 3, and then they, you know, pretend like all the awful sequels didn't happen, and they're like, 4's here, and it's getting good reviews. I'm like, well, you know, why wouldn't I do that right now? And so we're probably going to do that soon, and then, you know, we'll have to juggle Mario with Crash Bandicoot with whatever else we're doing. You know, which is another reason why I haven't picked up Kingdom Hearts, is because I'm knee deep in all these new old games and old new games and all this other stuff. So, this article I pulled out just for you, actually. We're going back to the Snyder Cut.
Oh God!
This has been coming up quite a bit, and news broke that Jared Leto is coming to the Snyder Cut as the Joker.
All right. Well, I'm not watching it then.
We'll see.
That, like, literally, that's the tipping point of me being on the fence of like trying to get a hold of HBO to watch it. I'm just like, oh, it's obviously not worth it now.
I don't know how much of a capacity. I don't know how much he is. Just it could just be a cameo. It could be a big scene. I will say that I mean, obviously, I don't feel the same way about Jared Leto that you do.
I mean, you should. He's a fucking cult leader, and he's a disgusting person. And like, it started as a joke, but now I actually think he's disgusting, and just like people really need to stop working with him.
I don't know. I agree that he's fucking weird as fuck, and he is indeed a cult leader. It's funny to say out loud.
Which, I mean, also started as kind of a joke, but then, like, it's literally evolved into a thing. Like, he's literally taking advantage of people, and it's really gross. Like, me and Beck watched a big deep dive on his little cult island and, like, how everything works. It's fucking disgusting.
I haven't seen anything about
like,
it.
It's so it's like this close to Charles Manson level disgusting. It's like it's awful.
Yeah, I really want to look at that.
Like
now
if Charles Manson hosted the Fyre Festival, that's Jared Leto's fucking island.
I have to look into this and look at that. I was gonna say, and once again, this is with no like context of the things that you're talking about, like. Him as the Joker, what really irritated me was his cosmetics.
Yeah.
And I've talked about that before. Like, I didn't have any problem with his performance as the Joker. I didn't feel like he was in the movie enough for me to really, like, have much of an opinion. I was like, you know, he was there, kind of, sort of. Like, I didn't like the way he looked, but, you know, that's, you know, neither here nor there. I'm hoping that with them bringing him back into the Justice League, that they just pretend like he didn't have all the tattoos and the gold teeth.
Well,
I'm hoping that they just retcon that quietly.
They won't, because, like, David Ayer is like vigilant that that is the best part of his version of the Joker is all of the stupid cosmetic things that they came up with, and he's like still really campaigning about how awesome he is for stealing the look from like D Antwoord and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, and, but the thing is that David Ayer is not making this movie. So,
no, but I mean, I like, it's still like he's responsible for this version of the Joker, and so like,
yeah. I'm gonna cross my fingers and hope that they just quite were like, well, we didn't, your movie didn't do well for us, so go away. but having said that, there are a lot of movies that I really did like Jared Leto in, even though, you know, we don't like to talk about that. You've got me so curious about like whatever that thing is. You need to send me a link to that because I want to.
I'll see if Beck remembers what it was that she was watching it on. It was a while ago that we watched it.
I really liked him in Requiem for a Dream. I think he did a good job in that. And then I really liked him in Lord of War. And I liked him in Urban Legend. And there's a few other, like American Psycho, when he has this whole, like, he's the dude with the good business card who gets killed for having the good business card. I really want to see what you're talking about with, like, I want to know more, because when you're comparing him to Charles Manson, that makes me like, I need to know. I need to see such things.
I mean, like, he's definitely, like, he personally isn't like that level of crazy, but like, it's that kind of intense following that he has is like, I kind of feel like if he offhandedly made a joke that somebody should go kill somebody, that at least a couple people from his little cult would go and do it. And like, we would have that whole fucking Manson family situation all over again. And yeah, I mean, like, it's so bizarre, but like the whole thing with this little island that he did was like really, really bizarre and like insanely priced for what it is. So like, there were multiple packages, and like the higher tier packages, the creepier things got, but like the low tier package was something like, it was like $2,000 for a two night stay in your own tent on the side of an island, like not even on the same section as like where his huts are. And then, like, you could get in the hut, and then there was one where you could have, like, a private evening with Jared Leto, which just kind of tells me, like, you're paying $6,000 to have sex with Jared Leto or something. Because, like, the details were very unspecific about what exactly the evening entailed. But then, like, there was supposed to be, like, this concert experience where you would, like, everybody on the island would get together at the venue spot, and then 30 Seconds to Mars would come out and play. And then apparently, like, a couple of the times he just like came out by himself and just like read things off of a card instead of like giving a speech. He's just like, yeah, and you know, thanks everybody for being here, and like really unenthusiastic about having to be on the island with the people. And like, I don't know. I'll see if I could get the video thing from Beck again, because like, it's fucking weird and it's gross. And like I said, it started as a joke for the podcast, but now I just legitimately do not like him.
All right. Well, I want to see the thing that you're talking about, because that at the very least sounds really interesting and like something that I could sink a little bit of time into. I feel like, hold on, I'm gonna pull this back up. All right, but I do think that I should end this on a more positive story that I think will at least get some chuckles. Although maybe it'll start an argument. We'll see, because it's something that you're kind of impassioned against, sort of.
Oh.
I thought this story was really charming and really fun, but Snoop Dogg just had a birthday.
Okay.
And he got a present from Microsoft.
Oh.
And I thought that this whole exchange was really adorable, even though, like, you know, Snoop Dogg does play some games, and a lot of celebrities are starting to move towards, like, Twitch and stuff like that, and, you know, he's everywhere right now. Like, Snoop Dogg is, like, doing cooking things, he's doing National Geographic things, like, he's fucking everywhere. And, but this goes back to a joke when they first launched the pictures of what the Xbox Series X was going to look like. A lot of people were all like, it looks like a fucking refrigerator.
Yeah.
And Xbox sent Snoop Dogg a custom-made, one-of-a-kind Xbox Series X refrigerator. Pre-stocked with expensive gin, tons of orange juice, bacon, eggs, Xbox bling, like legitimate, like diamonds and gold chains that said Xbox, a cake shaped like an Xbox Series X, which, like, I want to point out how fucking impossible that motherfucker is going to be to eat. And an actual Xbox One X or Series X inside.
Inside the cake?
No, inside the refrigerator next to the cake, showing that the cake was the exact same size and exact same look of the Xbox Series X. And
see, that's just mean, because he's going to get real high and try to eat the wrong one. he's going to get real blitzed. He's like, it's time for the fucking Xbox time. I'm going to chow the fuck down.
I will say got
my gin and juice going. fucking Microsoft being a little stereotypical here, but, you know, whatever, shit's free. I'm going to get down on it. Let me just bite into it. I'm not even going to cut this cake. I'm just going to pick it up and bite it and chip a fucking tooth.
I will say the cake is slightly bigger than the actual Series X, but they had to pay a lot of money to have someone make a cake that looked exactly like that motherfucker with a slit and everything, which also, like, where the disc slot is where you open the fridge from.
Yeah.
Like, that's the handle. And so it also, like, it even has, like, the light lights up and, like, illuminates the Xbox symbol. I was dying about it. It's, you know, it's Snoop Dogg posted the video of him just, like, looking through all the inside. And then poor Snoop Dogg looks into the camera and just goes, it's in the game, which has nothing to do with Xbox. That's 100% an EA slogan. But, you know, I forgive him because, you know, he's Snoop Dogg and he probably was high and eyeballing that gin, like, and juice, being all like, yeah. Old.
He's stoned out of his mind half the time. Like, you know. I honestly, like, the only thing that would have been better is if he had just opened it up and then turned the camera around and went, Sega.
Now, what I will say is something that was really bizarre to me that I want more explanation of is, you know, like, he opens the fridge and, like I said, there's, like, Xbox bling, like diamonds and gold chains that say Xbox and have the Xbox emblem on them. And there's a Series X. We know why that's in there. We know why the cake's in there. It's his fucking birthday. We get the gin and juice, right? I don't question that. But I'm talking, like, at least 10 cartons of eggs and maybe more packs of bacon. Which, like, is Snoop Dogg, like, low-key really into breakfast? Is that, like, his fucking thing?
I need to know. I thought maybe it was, like, a pun. Like, it's the eggs box. But I don't know what the bacon contributes to that.
I will say he looked so happy about his new refrigerator, which I kind of want this refrigerator. Are you looking it up?
I'm curious about the eggs and bacon thing. Apparently, he has a song with Corrupt called Bacon and Eggs.
Oh, shit. I guess that's what it is. All right. I'm going to check that song out, like, right when we're done recording before I watch our movie today. I need that in my life. Snoop Dogg's fucking Bacon and Egg song. Are you listening to it right now?
Yeah, I pulled up the sample. And, of course, the sample doesn't have Snoop Dogg in it. It's the Corrupt bar, but...
No. I'll check it out. So, I guess join us for our 300th episode on Tuesday. That's a, you know, a big landmark for our main show. I can't believe that we're at 300 episodes.
Yeah.
I
mean, if you combine the shows, we're now over 500 episodes, which is even more insane. But
yeah. And I know some of you have listened to all of it, so, like, that's fucking crazy. Like, good on y'all. So I'm real excited to do a 300th episode with my buddy Cody over here, and join us Tuesday for that. We're going to be watching The Houses That October Built 2, which will be the end of our October event. And everybody who's been following us for these years knows what comes after October, and that is Nick Cage November. It's somehow we have an event that has me more excited than watching horror movies all Halloween, and that is a month of Nick Cage movies.
Yeah.
I am fucking ready. We've been talking about it. We've got some plans. And you know, if you've been following, it's just we've got three events that finish off the last 3 months of the year, and so you all know what all's around the corner and whatnot. I'm real excited for what we've got going forward with the show, and I'm ready I'm so ready for Nick Cage November. I even bought some Nick Cage movies that we're not even gonna be covering, like movies we watched. I'm like, man, I want to own that. Like I bought 8mm, and I bought Face Off, and I bought Snake Eyes, which I've never even seen Snake Eyes. I'm like, you know, fucking why not? It's another Nick Cage movie that I have yet to see, and he might be the greatest actor who's ever lived, and I said it. So you just have to deal with that shit.
I mean, it would be such a daunting task and far more expensive than it probably should be, but like, even me, as a person that doesn't much care about physical media for movies, would like to have physical copies of every Nick Cage movie.
You never accomplish the goal. By the time you get them all, he's going to release 10 more.
Well, I mean, he's going to die before me unless something intervenes.
No, he's going to live forever. Nick Cage is never going to die. That's the whole reason buying a tomb was actually a bad financial decision, because he's never going to be laid to rest. So he's never going to die, so that tomb's just going to sit there forever.
Well, I mean, he only uses it to house money that he's obtained in questionable ways anyway, so...
Actually, I just saw an article today when I was looking for news, and I didn't read the whole article, but the headline was that once Nick Cage won $20,000 gambling and donated it all to charity.
Yeah.
So... he's just as good of a person as he is an actor. That's what I say. All right, so join us on Tuesday for our 300th episode. I hope you all can check that one out and have that milestone with us. And until then, I'm Billy.
And I'm Cody.
This has been the Film Feed News. Filthy News!